Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Want to stream Cognitive Dissonance to your Android or iPhone? Buy the app. Go to dissonancepod.com and click on the link on the right-hand side of the page. Each purchase helps support the show. Be advised that this show is not for children, the faint of heart, or the easily offended. The explicit tag is there for a reason.
Recording from Glory Hole Studios in Chicago, this is Cognitive Dissonance. Every episode we blast anyone who gets in our way. We bring critical thinking, skepticism, and irreverence to any topic that makes the news, makes it big, or makes us mad. It's skeptical, it's political, and there is no welcome mat. This is episode 201A.
I don't mean to do that.
I don't think there's going to be a 201B.
No. We're going for full on 202 next time, I think.
I think we should skip the whole 200 and just name everything in terms of like the Roman numerals. Like this is episode XXVICC1.
Yeah, I know.
That's
a fucking confusing system, man.
That is a super confusing system. And I'm actually to understand that like the placement doesn't matter somehow, so I don't know how they did addition and subtraction, because they weren't like tens column placeholders
so
or whatever.
Weird to subtract and multiply letters, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Like, what's x times x?
How much is an m minus an l, huh?
I don't know. None of this means anything. Coyote? None of this is anything.
So I think we should start going with counting by fives. So why don't we just call this like 205?
I like it. That way we'll get to episode. You know, here's the funny thing. Incredulous could start doing that right now. And we could start counting backward.
Right.
And we'd still have more episodes accomplished counting backwards. By tens. Yeah. We could count backwards by tens. And by the time they got to episode 100... I think we'd still have more episodes in the bank.
They could count by 100. It's still. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
So, Cecil, this was a hell of a week.
Yeah.
A lot going on. This was the week of the deplorable terrorist attacks in France and in Paris. The Charlie Hebdo.
It's Charlie Hebdo. You have to talk like, okay, here's why I love
I'm
the
giving
French
you a look
on.
That
I know
is
you
just...
are, but here's the best part about the French language is that every word is having menage a trois with every other word, right? So you just they all kind of bleed together. It's like a fucking word orgy. You just got to let them all sort of bleed together. So it's Charlie Hebdo is what it is. That's how you say it. And I totally mispronounced it, but who cares? So
Charlie Hebdo. That's terrible.
There's Chicago for you right
God,
there.
God, what a fucking nightmare. Yeah. So 12 people mass murdered, basically. Yeah. You know, gunmen stormed into the building, the office building of a satirical newspaper in Paris, and just fucking murdered a bunch of folks. You know, it just resolved, actually resolved. I don't know if you can use that word, but there were two sieges, which seemed to be kind of related, but perhaps not. It wasn't terribly clear from the news reports that I heard, but it sounds like the actual gunmen are now dead.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they took over like a Jewish supermarket, too. Did you see that?
Yeah.
A separate group outside of the two gunmen took over, you know, said that they were like sympathizers or something. And they took over a Jewish supermarket, held people hostage. I think four or five hostages died. So it's just a fucking mess. And the whole thing that started it is basically boiling down to freedom of speech. When do we have freedom of speech? What are the consequences of freedom of speech? And how does sort of religion interact with that?
Yeah.
And not well, it turns out.
Yeah, well, it depends on the religion, I guess.
Yeah.
That's the first thing. We see that what happened here with this particular newspaper is that they have been producing I'm going to just say offensive
sure,
cartoons.
Nothing wrong with being offensive. I mean, they're offensive.
They're offensive to people. People were offended by them.
Right. That's what makes something offensive,
right? Exactly. I wasn't offended by them. I actually think some of them were hilarious. A couple of them were very funny. One of them was, this episode or this particular issue is edited by Muhammad was one of them.
That's awesome.
That was great.
That's awesome.
And then there's one with the ISIS guy standing behind Muhammad, and he's gonna behead Muhammad, and he says, "I'm the prophet, you idiot," and he says, "Shut up, you infidel," and he's gonna behead him.
Yeah. That's good.
And I like that. I think it's great. And then they had a couple other ones that were I think more. The thing about their covers is that it's dealing with a lot of French politics, which I don't understand.
Right, same thing. So, I looked at some covers and I was just like, that's probably something.
And there was some that you know, clearly a lot of people were trying to say that they're racist, that they were being racist, that they were depicting people the or Arabic people or whatever in the same sort of manner they were saying that they were drawing. And I'm thinking, it's a fucking cartoon, idiot. They're supposed to look cartoonish. I don't understand. Like, people just want, like, it seems like there's a lot of people who want to make excuses for the people who shot. And I found a lot of that on Twitter. I was really kind of repulsed by what a lot of people were posting. And I want to talk a little bit about what people were posting on Twitter, specifically because I think that it sort of shows you how fucking much we're ready to bend over and grab our ankles and say, whatever you guys want to do, we're going to do our very best not to offend you in any way possible. We don't want you to be offended in any way possible. And I really saw some people just roll over and just say, that while they don't condone the murders, they almost understand it. And you shake your head and say, how the fuck is that even possible?
No,
specifically, I remember one person was saying that the comics were racist. They were saying that they were racist and gross or whatever. You know, they're racist.
They're Ben Affleck.
Yeah, and then they were also saying in the same Twitter stream that the people who did this did it because of Abu Ghraib, that they were offended by what happened in Abu Ghraib, so they did this. Now, first, that doesn't make any sense
fucking
to me.
TikTok.
Right? That doesn't make any sense at all. The idea that you're going to do something because of Abu Ghraib to a satirical magazine, you're in Paris. You can just go find a whole bus full of Americans anytime you want in Paris. You could set up a whole bus full of Americans and pitch them off the fucking Eiffel Tower if you wanted to. Like, there's so many ways you could fuck Americans in Paris.
Yeah, there's no shortage of Americans
in
Paris.
It's not like they just don't ever visit there. Why not attack the American embassy over there if that's the case, or something like that? There's things that you could do, but they're clearly offended by these cartoons, which is why they acted. But then in the same breath, this person is saying, well, they were racist. And you're like, okay, well, what you're saying is that, you know what, I don't condone them killing it, but I kind of understand it. Well, that means you're a fuckhead.
Yeah.
That means you're an asshole if you think that, you know, first off, if you think that anybody who does anything that's racist should be killed for it,
right,
you're an idiot. You're just an idiot. I don't think there's any fucking saving you. I think you're just a stupid person. And, you know, and the Abu Ghraib thing just doesn't hold any water.
It doesn't make any sense. No, that doesn't make any sense. You know, how would they feel if we proposed a law that said that anytime somebody is offended, that's a capital crime. That's a capital punishment. It's a punishment or it's a crime now to offend somebody, and the punishment is death. So, you know, and if you're racist, that the, you know, it's a crime, and the punishment for being racist is death. It's a death penalty crime. That nobody would support that, right? But that's what the apologists are saying here. You know, they're basically saying that, oh, look, it was racist. I'm not even going to argue whether it was racist. I don't even want to have an argument about whether or not this shit that was written was racist or not racist or what, because none of it matters. Once you bring out that gun and start shooting, none of it matters. We could, there was a time and a place and an avenue to have a conversation about the relative merits of the magazine's content, right? The magazine's content, frankly, has like nothing to do with it anymore once you break a gun out. Like your ability to have that conversation, your desire to have that conversation in a way that's, you know, that's civilized, is absolutely ended. Like you're now in the dark ages. Like we're going full on fucking barbarian by rolling in here and saying like, well, I was offended, so that gives me the right to commit mass murder.
Yeah.
How would that even work?
Think about it this way. If this week we found out that the Westboro Baptist Church, those hateful pricks at the Westboro Baptist Church, were at a rally and they all got shot.
It'd be terrible.
It'd be terrible.
It'd be terrible.
I wouldn't be able to rejoice that. I wouldn't be able to say, well, you know what? They were saying some pretty awful shit, so they deserved it. I recognize that there was a point, and I remember this when in the past when they were at a rally and they got chased into their car and they drove away and people sort of threw some shit at their car and broke the windows out and they ran away.
Right.
And I got to admit that when I saw that, I kind of snickered. I'm like, oh, you know, like, well, you know, sure, you kind of got to expect that. But that's a level of violence that's so much lower than getting out a fucking gun and shooting someone.
Sure.
You know, I mean, I recognize that, you know, if you say something racist and maybe you get your ass beat, you know, that's a level of justice that's just totally different and totally, you know, on another fucking level than if you say something racist or do something racist and you get fucking shot. You know, we shouldn't be kowtowing to people who think that that's a good idea, who think
absolutely
that there's
not
some sort of merit in what's happening there. And there were some other things that people had said, especially on Twitter, that I wanted to address. Bill Maher had said, condemning the attack is not enough. Unless you strongly endorse the right of anyone to make fun of any religion or prophet, you are not a moderate Muslim.
Right. I agree with that.
Yeah. Strongly endorse the right to of anyone to make fun of anybody. I don't think that there's a problem. But somebody had tweeted back to him, and I found this one. It says, really, Bill, you have you condemned the attack on the NAACP building today? Do all white people need to prove that they are moderate? And that is totally missing the point.
Right.
Right? First off, nobody died in the NAACP attack. Nobody died in it. Now,
right,
I don't think that makes it a good thing.
Sure.
But it certainly doesn't make it a comparable thing. We can't start saying, well, you know what? They did something today and nobody apologized for it. Well, there's a huge difference between having a codified book of rules that rules you, like the Muslim, the Quran does, right? And having a group of racist people that do something. So there's a totally different feeling there. It's not like all white people subscribe to the same fucking ideology.
I'm not white by choice.
Yeah.
I'm not white.
Yeah.
I just woke up.
Yeah.
White,
and even if you were, like, let's say, born into that religion, you still have to follow a set of rules that is handed down by. There's a white person handbook that I got when I was born. Yeah. I mean, I got all the white privilege. I just didn't get the book. You know what I mean?
Yeah. There's no handbook for this.
Yeah. But there was such this false equivalency that was going on. And it's just such a silly thing to even say.
And this is the thing, too, that, like, even if it were an apt analogy, it wouldn't make the attack any more morally justifiable. Right. It wouldn't make the reason for the attack all of a sudden become a good reason. So even if you were to say legitimately, like, hey, you know, that analogy makes sense, I guess, you know, I guess since all white people don't condemn the NAACP attack, then, you know, the Muslims, you know, aren't radicals if they don't condemn violence. Like, wait, that's it. Doesn't work. It just doesn't work.
There was also somebody else, a bunch of people were posting images of other serial, like other terrorists, like saying, this is what a terrorist looks like when this was happening, to sort of show that terrorists can be white or other colors, I guess.
Right.
I don't know what the purpose of that is. I mean, I don't think that when someone does a terrorist act, people think, oh, well, this is the only person in the universe that's a terrorist. I think that I don't understand what their point was, but what they wanted to do was just say, well, not only Arabs can be terrorists, or not only Muslims can be terrorists.
Sure.
And you're like, yeah, no shit. I don't know that anybody needed a fucking refresher course on that. Clearly, anybody can be a terrorist. And everybody wants to blame this, and they do it every time, on the fundamentalists. They say, oh, well, these guys were just fundamentalists. Well, what the fuck are they fundamental of? What's the fundament of the thing that it's the religion, okay? They are more religious than the rest of the other people. The reason why we call them crazy is because they adhere to their religion in a way that is fucking disturbing. That's why we call them fundamentalists and extremists and wackos. And it's not because they're less religious. It's because they're more religious.
Yeah.
I don't understand why people don't get that. They just don't understand that. They're just like, oh, well, it's just the extremists. Well, the extremists are more religious than the rest of the people. The problem isn't the people. It's the religion. It's the religion that's making these people do this. This isn't the first time that this Charlie Hebdo place was actually fucking attacked.
Right.
They were firebombed before in the past when they made a Muslim. They reprinted those cartoons from the Danish. They reprinted them. And then they also did other cartoons that had to do with Muhammad. And they firebombed their fucking place. This isn't the first time that these people have been attacked. They've been attacked before in the past. So this isn't it's not like, and that's the other thing too, is when they say, oh, well, these are just one or two people. No, a lot of people find drawing Muhammad very offensive. Look at what happened with the Danish cartoon.
Right.
This isn't just an isolated incident.
Yeah,
this isn't a tiny isolated incident. People fucking went wackaloon over that shit. They burned shit down.
Over a cartoon.
Yeah, man. Over somebody drawing something else. So don't tell me that it's fucking that should be accepted, that we should look at that and say, oh, yeah, well, you know, I mean, we just kind of pissed them off. Fuck them.
Yeah.
They should be fucking pissed off then. Live pissed off.
What is it? What does it mean to be offended? You know, what does it mean? It means that you're angry, that you're upset, but it doesn't mean that you have a right to just murder whoever angered or upset you.
Like,
we don't have that.
Right?
Law. Yeah. We
burn
don't
things
have,
down. Yeah.
Yeah. We don't have a, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize when you were burning my storefront or shooting my child that you were offended. That makes it okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. They shouldn't have offended you. I mean, how would a civilized society go about operating like that?
Yeah.
You know, it's also worth noting that the magazine lampooned all religious figures.
Yeah, it wasn't just
It
one.
Wasn't like they just went after Muslim. They didn't draw like Muslim caricatures. They drew all kinds of religious caricatures. And, you know, nobody ran in and, you know, shot up the place and said, we've avenged Jesus, right? They ran in and they shot up the place and they killed 12 people and they ran out yelling, we have avenged the prophet.
Yeah.
That's a thing that happened. It's not something that we made up.
Yeah.
It's not something this apologist shit, I don't even understand. I would feel so crazy if I was an apologist right now, bending over backwards to try to make excuses for this kind of behavior. And this idea that we should live and curtail our freedom of expression and our freedom of speech because we live in fear of offending a group of people who cannot fucking control their emotional responses to being offended, that's outrageous. I mean, it's like a basic thing that human adults have to learn how to do is control their goddamn anger and their fucking emotions. And if you want to get angry about something, use your words.
Yeah.
I mean, what
are
you,
nine? That's
exactly
it, right? Yeah, it's like you're talking to a toddler. You're just like, use your words. Instead, they're just frustratedly slapping out at the world,
right?
Angry and completely out of control. You're absolutely right. Like this is a point where we have to trust them, right? And while they did say that they were upset by Abu Ghraib, so we have to trust them that they were upset by it. Sure. They also said, we have avenged the prophet.
Right.
So it's not like they only were offended by Abu Ghraib. Maybe that was the catalyst to get them moving. Maybe that, and I'm not going to apologize and be like, oh, Abu Ghraib, that wasn't a big deal. Yeah, it was a fucking terrible, awful
yes,
fucking
it was.
Thing. It was awful. It was terrible. Like, what is the reason behind that? Like, that's going to motivate you to do something now? It's 10 years old.
It's years old, and you're attacking the wrong nationality. Yeah,
it feels like such a reach. It feels like what it feels like. It feels like people are looking for a reason to just hope that, you know, that they can find some other reason so they can blame these people less.
Want to contact the guys? Go to dissonancepod.com to get links to their Google+, Facebook, and Twitter accounts. If you want to contact them directly, send an email to dissonance.podcast@gmail.com. Or you can call and leave a message at 740-74-DOUBT. That's 740-743-6828. Do you want to support the show? Go to patreon.com. That's patreon.com/dissonancepod. Or click the link on the podcast homepage, and you can donate to the production of Cognitive Dissonance on a per-episode basis. If you can't spare any money, take a second to give us a 5-star review on iTunes or Stitcher, or spread the word about the show. We want to send a big, heartfelt glory hole to all the patrons and people who rate us. You fucking rock.
So I want to cover this story from the New York Post. Religious leader condemns cartoonists after Paris massacre. Bill Donahue, he's that fucking asshole from the Catholic League. So he's the Catholic League president. He put a post on the group's website called Muslims Are Right to Be Angry, in which he blasted the French paper for the vulgar manner in which Muhammad has been portrayed. And then he said, crazily enough, that really what was so wrong wasn't so much the way that they lampooned the Muslims.
Right.
It's because they also made fun of the Catholics.
Yeah, they made fun of the Pope.
Right.
Big Pope.
Hey.
It's the Pope.
Hey.
So they got a little upset by that. I you know, this fucking fat faced prick, I feel like he's just one of these guys who's like a fucking tragedy ambulance chaser.
Right.
That just wants to throw his own ideas out into the world when no one is asking, when no one cares.
Right.
He just seems like the kind of guy who will tell you. It's like you're at a party and you sort of offhandedly mention a band, and then somebody comes over and says, "Oh, I actually know that. I'm a big fan of those, or I hate that band," or something.
Yeah, like, right. And you're just like,
and you just, I don't care.
I hate that.
Yeah, nobody cares.
Yeah, it's like, I was listening to such and such. Yeah. That band sucks. Okay. What did you interject into this conversation?
He feels like one of those guys.
Yeah.
Like one of those guys who just hanging on waiting. Because I don't think, I think everybody's as smart enough and has smartened up and isn't talking to him directly. So now he's just got to latch himself onto other things so people will pay attention to him.
I think that's exactly the thing. And I also think part of me thinks that he just says this shit even if he doesn't believe it, because it's a way for him to get some fucking notoriety.
Yeah.
You know, because otherwise, it's just fucking lunacy.
Do you think that there are people, though, that believe that there's... I mean, there you can't. I'm not going to ask you this question because clearly there are people. They actually shoot other human beings. But there are people who believe that you should never insult someone or never insult the specifically any kind of holy text. I mean, this is enforced blasphemy law is what it is.
Right. It's
right?
A de facto blasphemy law, right?
Yeah, it's a blasphemy law that you didn't even get a chance to vote on.
Right.
This is one that's just, it's going to be upheld, you know, come hell or high water with an AK-47. That's basically
right.
What's going to happen. So there, the problem is that it's not just that there's a danger of this happening in the West. There's a danger of somebody getting mad when you repost a Danish cartoon or you put some sort of satirical thing out there.
Right.
There's a chance that you could face some sort of retaliation. The problem also lies in the fact that there are places in the world right now where blasphemy laws are a real fucking thing. That's a real thing that can happen to you right now. So if you were to do anything like these people did, have a satirical magazine and post some image of somebody, especially of the prophet, you'd be fucked. You could be fucking, I mean, we're going to talk about somebody later on who just insulted Islam.
Right.
And he's going to get lashed for
it.
I mean, you could really get fucked in large parts of the world because of blasphemy laws.
Isn't it like more insulting too, I would think, to treat, here's what strikes me as particularly, if we want to talk about something being, you know, racist or essentializing or reductionist about the way that we treat Muslims, I would think that saying treating them like they're a powder keg ready to explode right. all the time. Yep. Basically saying like, whoa, 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 we don't want to say anything provocative because, you know, this group of people will violently, you know, rise up and shoot us or, you know, bomb us or, you know, commit some kind of heinous atrocity. Doesn't that just emphasize the divide and basically say like, hey, when... We don't do anything offensive to the Muslims. They're fucking animals that can't control their anger.
They're fucking all Ahmed that just got out of anger management.
You know right. I mean? Like, exactly. Like
they're all just ready to explode.
That seems to me to be far more insulting. Like if somebody said to me like, "Oh, well, we would have brought you along, but we totally thought you'd like get mad and like kill us."
But you can't take a joke there, big guy.
Yeah, well, we were going to go and, you know, to the comedy club. We were afraid that, like, if the guy singled you out, that you just stand up and shoot up the place because you're a fucking angry, violent child. Like,
not that you're going to firebomb his car.
Right.
So we just decided to leave you there.
Man, I'd rather you assume that I am going to act like a human being rather than you assume that I'm going to act like a fucking violent animal, like a rabid fucking animal.
A long black cock.
So this story comes from the Hindustan Times. It's also about the same issue. Ready to pay money. What does that
That's
say?
Not a figure.
What does it even say?
It's like a squiggle with a 51 and a CR after it.
Yeah, fucking 51. Crow nuts to whatever.
I don't know, man. I might take a bounty of 51 crow nuts.
51 crow nuts would be a hell of a bounty, actually. 51.
These are like $7 a piece.
Oh, man.
So, Jesus. You
51
fucking
crow nuts.
Trade that in for a double wide. Are you
sweet
kidding me?
Prize.
By the way, look at this guy. He kind of looks like he's going to make the donuts. I mean, look at his little hat down there.
He does kind of look like he's made the donuts. He actually looks just like that. Like
it's either that or he works at In-N-Out Burger.
I love, by the way, that like when you get donuts from fucking Dunkin' Donuts or whatever, and they use that paper to get your donut so that they don't touch your donut, and then they drop that paper in your bag of donuts.
Yeah.
So like, it's like, hold on, my hands are filthy. Now, my filth hands are in your donut bag. That's disgusting. What kind of policy is that? Just wear gloves.
They don't want to get the fucking chocolate frosting on the glazed donut.
It's better than getting the fucking, you know, Ebola on the glazed donut. You nasty.
You would still eat the Ebola.
I would eat it. I contend that Ebola would have nothing on me.
Yeah.
That if I got Ebola, it would be like,
The thing is your heart is so enlarged that you could liquefy your organs and you would still be fine.
It'd be like, no big deal.
I don't mind. You'd liquefy one of your four stomachs and you'd be fine with it.
Just ruminate longer. Yeah. That's it.
Just have to
no
eat,
problem.
Just eat like, more grass.
I gotta chew my cud.
Yeah.
Fucking, I chew my cronuts.
Look, if my cud was cronuts, that would be amazing.
Are you kidding me?
That would be amazing.
Oh,
just
my
keep
God.
Burping up your cronuts.
That's actually my version of the afterlife.
That's disgusting.
That's it. That's heaven. In heaven, I am a four-stomached cow, and my pasture is cronuts. It's a cronut pasture.
How do they grow? Is there like many cronuts on one piece of grass?
Their problem. All right? All I know is it's heaven, and I'm eating cronuts.
Yeah.
I don't want your 72 virgins, because I'm going to have sex with them, and then they're not going to be virgins anymore. So
they're going to be sloppy.
You're like out of prizes, right away.
You have like 72. At your very worst, you have 72 days to get through that.
Yeah. Days.
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 Yeah.
Add it all up, it's 12 minutes. But cronuts.
Yeah.
That's the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah, for sure.
So anyway, this fucking story. So this asshole wants to pay a reward to the attackers in the Hebdo massacre. And he basically says that the followers of Prophet punish them, and those who dare insult Prophet Muhammad deserve death, and there is no need to initiate legal procedure against them. That's it.
Yeah, but, I mean, let's be honest here. These were just three lone gunmen. They had no backing whatsoever in the Muslim faith, Nobody, right. No, there wasn't a single Muslim in the entire Muslim world that agreed with what they did. That were just three lone extremists.
Yeah, that are clearly operating outside the confines of their religious order.
Right.
You know, which is not at all the case. Yeah. So,
I mean, I'd be really curious. I don't know if you remember, but when 9/11 happened, they started doing some polls to see if people agreed with it. And there was some people in the world that were, you know, clearly against it, and, you know, right. people that came from Muslim countries that were against it. And then there was some people that were totally for it. Thought,
sure.
Yeah, this is awesome.
Yeah.
This is great.
Right.
I'm kind of curious
what
those numbers
look like now. Yeah.
Are there groups of people that see this happen, that hear about this tragedy in the Muslim world somewhere, in a Muslim country, in a place with Sharia law maybe, and then they get asked that question? Do you think it's justified that they died?
I think in huge parts of the world that the answer would be an unequivocal yes. We've covered how many stories about people who have mobs of people.
Yeah.
Remember the stories in Pakistan where
sure.
mobs of people yeah. attacked, and like, remember that story where they broke those people's legs and threw them in a kiln and burned them to death because they disrespected a Quran?
I've been trying to forget that one ever since.
I mean,
bringing it up.
Oh, like, this is, there are
they
mobs.
They turned them into pottery, for Christ's sakes.
They got a nice glaze on those guys.
Jesus.
Turn them into cronuts. That's not how you make it. This is not the secret recipe.
That is not. The problem with people like this is that this is a person who isn't just a guy. This is like a cleric. This is a guy who's, you know, a leader in that group.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's not that these are just three people. And I'm not, and don't get me wrong, I'm not blaming it on the entirety of the Muslim religion. I also don't think that it's necessary that every time people come out and there's a lot of people who are saying, you need to denounce this, you need to denounce this. And people have, they have denounced
sure.
it. But I don't think you need to denounce it. I mean, if you're Muslim faith, I don't think you need to go out of your way to denounce it. I think you're going to have to live with the fact, though, just like we do in this country when there's a mass shooting. When there's a mass shooting, us gun owners who think there should be more gun control have to live with the fact that our freedoms killed someone. We
sure.
have to live
right.
with that. That's something we have to look ourselves in the mirror and say, you know what? The freedoms that we have in this country were enough to cause many people to die today. They died because we think that these freedoms are more important than human life sometimes. And this is one of those days. And you just got to look yourself in the mirror and say, well, you know what? Today was one of those days and it sucks, but that's the way it is. And if you're a Muslim, it's going to be the exact same thing. You got to look yourself in the mirror, hold your Quran up and go, I hold this book to be holy. I think it's awesome and I follow it and I think it's awesome. And people died because of it today. Don't fucking fool yourself and think that they didn't die because of that book, because they died because of that book.
Sure, sure.
And they died because of very strict adherence to that book. And just because you don't adhere to it as much as they do, I'm not going to accuse you of being somebody who I think is
you're not,
you know,
complicit.
I don't think you're complicit.
Right.
But I also don't think you're helping. I think you are contributing by giving those people, as Sam Harris says, giving those people a shield to hide behind. Because now we have to fight our way through you to get to these people who are the extremists.
For me, I think all religions suck. Like, all religions are totally useless. They don't do the – They don't do the world more good than the harm that they cause. I don't think that religion is a net benefit to the world at all. And, you know, that's not to say that religious people are not a net benefit to the world, because there's a difference between the ideas and the people. In a situation like this where you've got a cleric who's saying, like, yeah, I would give a fucking reward to mass murderers who committed murder because they got fucking worked up about a set of ideas. I mean, and they run out saying that they've avenged their prophet. Like, that's a situation you can't possibly get behind. You got to stop and say, like, what good is this? Like, are we getting more out of this? Like, what? Like, all those people in the world who are good people and are also religious people, if we took away the religion, are we to assume that they would just stop being good people? I don't think so. But if we took away religion right now, there wouldn't be anything for these people to be upset that was being satirized. Nobody kills people because you satirized George Bush. Nobody kills people because you satirize Obama, right? You get upset and you're like, I like that guy. You know, and then you write a fucking angry letter to the editor. Religion's the only force that motivates people to commit this level of violence because there's something intrinsic about your fucking very nature that feels insulted. That's fucking nonsense. There's nothing intrinsic about your nature that was insulted. Some dude drew some pictures.
Yeah, I was trying to think of something analogous this week, and I couldn't think of anything. Religion is one of these things that I can't think of anything in my life that I would say I would want to kill somebody. You could draw the worst, most heinous picture of my wife. And admittedly, my wife is probably the one person on earth I love the most, right? So I think about, you could draw her like getting three dicks in the face, right? And like two in other holes and like all other ones like ready to shoot on her. And draw it all you want. I don't care. Like, yeah. Great.
But even if you cared a lot, you would never commit a crime.
Let's presume I did care. Yeah. Let's presume. First off, I think it's silly. Drawing a picture, right. And I'm going to get so butthurt over you drawing a picture. You're a fool. You know, like, of course I'm not going to get butthurt over that. That's stupid. But even if I did get mad, let's say I got as mad as I possibly could, I don't think I would ever resort to violence. I might, like, let's say I get mad and be like, well, you're a fuckhead. I think that's like as far as it would go. It's just call him a fuckhead. I can't think of an analog in my life where I think this is something I would be so upset about. Or even just, let's say, nationality, right? Somebody saying, oh, fucking America sucks, and like defecating on an American flag. I'd be like, oh, well, you're a jagoff. Okay. And even if I was mad about it, I don't think I'd fucking pull out my, you know, America gun and shoot you.
Yeah. I was thinking about the same thing, and I was thinking like, is there ever a time, is there ever a set of words that when you string them together in the right order, the best response is violence? And I think like, well, yeah, I guess maybe possibly like, hey, we're sending a bunch of ICBMs your way. Like, okay, well, yeah. All right, we got to do something about that. That's not a good, but you know, like on a more reasonable level. On a more reasonable, like, mano a mano level. Like, you're insulting me or you're insulting something that's, you know, like part and parcel of myself, you know, like something that I hold truly dear. At what point, like, am I not going to be fucking sticks and stones, man? Like, at what point are you like, whoa, they fucking crossed the line. Now I have to fucking murder you or just murder the first fucking 12 people in your office that I find.
Yeah, you just think, I can't help but think that, you know, the people who would do that, and not just the people who would do it, right, but the people who, like this guy, who think it's a good thing that it happened,
right,
and the people all over the world who not only rioted when they showed the Danish cartoons, but all the other people who, you know, said that was a valid way in which to vent your frustrations. All those people are just, they're walking man children.
Yeah.
They're just, they haven't grown up, or I don't know what the deal is when people riot over a Quran being burned.
Well, and this is what this serves to do is this serves to make sure it happens again.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
That's what he's doing here.
Yeah.
He knows that these guys are going to get caught and killed. But by posting a reward, he's saying, like, let's make them cultural heroes. Like, let's make them heroes within our faith so that this continues to happen.
Akbar, Allah Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Just little Allah. Thank you, Chicago.
So this story comes from the Telegraph. So the Paris shootings lead to firebomb attacks on French mosques. And I guess I wanted to talk about this because I wanted to wholeheartedly condemn this. The solution is not like the way that you respond to unwarranted violence is not with more unwarranted violence.
Yeah, that's just silly.
That is some fucking horrible shit.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, talk about like what's some shit that should be condemned.
Yeah.
Like, I will say that as a man who tries to behave in a somewhat civilized fashion, who is criticizing people for murdering.
Yeah.
I would say that firebombing mosques is a fucking, it's always a bad idea. Let's just say this.
Yeah.
Firebombing shit is always a bad idea.
It's rare that you would think that. I mean, I can't think. Unless you're doing like a heavy metal music video.
There you go.
Maybe you could firebomb something during that.
Yeah. At what point are you like, oh man, that could stand a good firebombing?
It's not a lot of things.
You ever see that show on HGTV where they like renovate kitchens by firebombing them? Yeah, me either. It wouldn't fucking work.
I totally watch it.
I
got to admit.
That would be
admit.
Fucking awesome.
Yeah, this is just reactionary bullshit.
And this is the kind of stuff that when it happens is really why the left kind of bends over backwards to try to distance itself from because this is really some racist assholery.
Yeah.
Like, this is a group of people, I know it's not really race, but this is a group of people who are basically saying, like, all Muslims deserve to take the blame or take the punishment for the actions of a few.
Yeah.
And as soon as you do that, it's like, that's ridiculous. Like, yeah. We should fight fire with words.
Yeah.
Like, words are vastly more powerful. And let's not pretend that this is not a war of ideas, because this is a war of ideas. And it's a war between secular society and religious society. And which one wins out in the end is very, very vital to whether or not we're going to continue to have a civilized world.
No one would think that this is a good idea. The only people that did this are people that are just hooligans. They're people who are just looking for trouble.
They're assholes.
Yeah, they're looking to start a fight. They're looking to spark some sort of unrest. They're happy when this stuff happens. They're just degenerates. And they're degenerates on one side, and there's degenerates on the other side. Clearly, these people are degenerates. I don't think that there's, you know, all you need to do is just catch these people and throw them in jail. Don't give them a fucking moment a moment to speak. Because the podium that they, you're going to be dumber when they're done talking.
You're right. Yeah. It's going to be a hate podium.
Yeah. Did you see the cover, by the way, of the new, their next week's, what they're going to do? It's fucking awesome. It says in French something like, urgent, 6 cartoonists needed.
Oh, shit. Really?
Yes.
Oh, no.
It's crazy.
That's awesome. Did you see the Onion response?
I didn't.
The Onion response is fucking, it's actually quite perfect. It is sadly unclear whether this article will put lives at risk.
Oh, no.
Along black cock.
This story comes from RTE News. 100 killed in Boko Haram attack in Nigeria. So just in case you're starting to feel good for any reason.
Or in case you were planning on going to Nigeria for any reason.
Yeah, I don't think Nigeria is on anybody's list of vacation hotspots right now. I think it'd be a bad decision.
Yeah. You definitely don't want to get a timeshare in Nigeria.
You know, the nice thing...
Don't confuse Boko Raton for Boko Haram. You just want to...
That's a mistake you make once. That's... Yeah. Although I would say, you know, the nice thing is that the airfare is half off because you only need a one-way ticket.
About one-way ticket, yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they can...
And then you just,
I don't know. Is your corpse... Does it need a ticket? Oh, who am I kidding? They'll never find it. Ha, ha, ha. Oh, it's terrible.
Well, they might find it. It'll just be charred.
Yeah, right? Beyond recognition.
Oh, yeah.
What a fucking nightmare this is. So the Boko Haram, these are Islam extremists. They've declared a caliphate in the zones that they control.
Huh. Caliphate, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, probably a political caliphate. Mm. Huh. Hmm. Interesting. In northeast Nigeria.
is it a democratic caliphate?
Yeah, the People's Republic of Caliphate. Ridiculous.
A caliphate sounds like something you drink when you have an upset stomach.
Oh, man.
Like, man,
I just had like 14 calzones.
I need a caliphate.
the militants were specifically targeting the civilian populations. Insurgents were shooting indiscriminately and burning buildings. They burned to the ground all 16 towns and villages in the area. All 16. Sir, we've already burned down a dozen villages.
Yeah.
Now, keep going.
Yeah. Should we stop at a baker's dozen? No, keep going.
No, there's not been enough indiscriminate, wanton killing.
I want a dozen and a quarter.
That's what I want.
Just what the fuck, Nigeria?
Yeah.
What is actually happening? And Boko Haram, do you remember what Boko Haram means?
Yeah.
Western education is sinful.
Yeah.
That's what it translates into. Yeah.
And
Western
it's a caliphate.
And it's a caliphate. So it's probably a politically motivated caliphate that
doesn't like Western
has
stuff.
Sin in its name.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe not. Maybe that's actually religiously motivated violence.
Huh. I think maybe it might be religiously motivated violence. I think that, you know, clearly there's probably some religion and you know, politics intertwined here. But yeah. I don't think you can pull the religion out of it and say that it's completely blameless.
Of course
you
not.
You know, there's no way to do that. I don't think there's no way to do that and be honest. You can't do that and be honest. You could do that and be an apologist all day. But you can't do it and be honest.
And be honest about it. Yeah. Well, maybe we should just not be honest about stuff.
Yeah.
Well, and just pretend that we don't.
Yeah.
We can just put our fingers in our ears.
Of people that are bending over backwards, ready for any attack on any kind of whether it's an attack on that happened recently in Paris or the attack on other people in other countries. They just don't they don't even care about these other people. They don't care about these people.
Do you think that they'd be bending over backwards if somebody stormed into a building and said, you know, they had a shirt that said Catholic Warrior? And they said that they were doing this because they were offended, you know, by, I mean, the Hebdo. Like, Hebdo is like a great example, right? Because they were equal opportunity offenders. That's like what they did.
Well,
like,
I think if somebody busted in a building and was a Catholic and said they were a Catholic, they would immediately run with that and say, oh, my gosh, look at how, you know, you guys always bend over backwards when it's a Muslim, but now it's a Catholic and you're going to not condemn them.
But I'm saying like the Islamist apologists, like that's the take you think that they would take.
They would take,
they would compare it to Islam.
They would
immediately
compare it to Islam and say, look at all you assholes. How dare you not condemn this person for doing it?
Sure.
And I would certainly condemn someone.
I would condemn anybody that did that. Here's the thing. I just condemn murderers.
Yeah.
Like, it's real easy. I have a blanket. I don't need to do one on special dispensation.
I don't have to send out a tweet for that. I automatically do it.
Yeah.
It's just a thing I do.
It's easy. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, I eat sandwiches when they're in front of me, and I condemn murderers.
That's it.
Yeah.
Both of those things are understandable. Yeah. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. This story comes from the Associated Press. Convicted Saudi blogger flogged in public 50 times. Saudi blogger convicted of insulting Islam was brought Friday after prayers because you got to make sure that you got to pray before you're going to torture somebody.
I mean, look, when you're going to plan the torture out, you've got to make sure you plan it out the correct way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can't just willy-nilly throw the torture out there.
Come on.
Come on, you know. And you got to sell the advertising time, I think, during the torture. That's really important. And, you know, that advertising dollars can go a long way. So I think you've got to make sure you plan this out well.
And you don't want it to interfere with the prayers.
Sure.
You wouldn't want to be like,
oh, no.
Wait a minute.
Come on.
We're going to torture somebody at 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
No, we're going to pray at 2 o'clock. Yeah. We're torturing at 3.
And you don't want to get, you know,
check your Outlook calendar.
Yeah. Here's the thing. If you torture before you pray, then you get antsy while you're praying.
That's true.
You want to torture more people.
Right.
So you think, well, let's just get the prayer out of the way so we get, you know, especially the kids that we want to keep to watch the torture later.
Right.
You know, because those kids are a pain in the ass to take to church as it is. They only go because they're looking forward to the torture.
To the torture after?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
It's like when I was a kid and we wanted to go to Long John Silver's after shopping. It's the same thing. It's like you're looking, you train them to look forward to something.
Yeah. Give them a little carrot, a little stick.
Sure, exactly.
Yeah.
You can buy a toy at Walgreens and you can watch someone get tortured.
There you go.
Yeah.
In this case, it's a lot of stick.
Yeah.
50 times.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Because this guy was flogged 50 times before hundreds of spectators.
He must have done something horrible, Tom.
Oh, terrible. He insulted Islam with a blog.
Oh.
Yeah, so it was a blog, so some words. He took words and he put them in a specific order and he typed them. And that's it. That's the end of that's full stop.
That's really it. That's
it. Yeah.
So he didn't like take his computer then and beat someone to death with it.
No, you would think so.
Yeah.
But the 50 lashes, that's like step one.
That's not the entirety of the punishment.
No.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
He still has 950 more lashes.
Seems like a lot.
It's a lot of lashes.
Yeah. So
at least they're breaking it out into steps.
So he's done 1/20th of his punishment so far. Yeah, 5% of it. Is
Jesus,
Spanish.
Man.
Yeah, 5% of it.
This has to suck so bad.
And he got beat for a long time. They said it took a long time. It was like
50 of fucking anything.
Yeah.
Takes,
he didn't cry out. They said he didn't cry out. He just
fucking
winced.
Tougher dude than I am. Because I would be fucking crying as they led me to the thing. I'd be like, ah! Stop hitting me. Like,
I would have apologized already, though. You know, I would have immediately said, whatever your Allah, whatever. I'll become a fucking cleric. Cleric me. Yeah. Cleric me. Just fucking. Just, it's like you're a chessboard. You're just like, cleric.
Cleric me.
You know, whatever. They just set another human on top of your head.
Becoming a cleric so easy, you just put two quarters in the little gumball machine thing and it
rolls
out. Exactly,
yeah. They give you a super ball and it says you're a cleric.
You're a cleric now, yeah. If this ball bounces, it's rubber. It's certainly going
to
bounce.
Totally
going to
bounce. Yeah, he basically just got beat for no reason. And let's not beat around the bush here. This is specifically a religious punishment.
Of course it is.
He's being beat because he insulted Islam. So there's no way to defend this. And this isn't lone fucking gunman. This is a fucking institution of a state. This is an entire state that is deciding that this human being needs to get beaten like a petulant child because they insulted some book that you hold holy.
Right. You know, this was a guy who had a blog who was basically criticizing the whole cleric system and the whole shenanigans system that is
the Sharia law.
What passes for laws over there, which is no laws, which is just here's a set of corrupt judges who read an old book and then make whatever arbitrary fucking decisions they want.
Yeah.
And, you know, he criticized that. And in 2015, here we are whipping people in a public square while hundreds of people gather to cheer that shit on. And that's supposed to pass for civilized society. I'm supposed to look at that and say, that's co-equivalent.
Yeah, that's barbarity is what that is.
I'm not going to look at that and say that is equivalent to, a modern Western society that doesn't tolerate that, that allows for freedom of speech, that allows for freedom of expression, that more than allows it, that holds those things as civic virtues.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allah.
So this story comes from the Daily Kos on not understanding Charlie, why many smart people are getting it wrong. So this is a very interesting article from the Daily Kos that talks kind of about how a lot of people are misinterpreting and misunderstanding the whole Charlie Hebdo thing. And this is really one of those scenarios, I think, where people are getting fucking onioned, where they're looking at something without the context. They don't have the cultural, cues in place to understand kind of where the magazine comes from and what it's trying to lampoon. And so they're looking at things at face value, which strikes me, Cecil, as the worst way to look at a satirical newspaper.
It sure does, doesn't it? And it feels like there's a couple of covers that when you look at them without any context whatsoever, do look pretty horribly racist. Like
Wow.
The one I'm thinking of is the one with the welfare girls who are Boko Haram sex slaves.
Right. It looks
horrifying.
Horrifyingly racist.
It looks super racist. Yeah. But what they're doing, I think, is combining a couple of different things that the other side is saying to try to make it seem like they're absurd. And there's a good discussion on what that cartoon really means. You know, there's other stuff that people are saying that that the way the cartoons are drawn is racist. Like, take away the whole context of all the other stuff. But the way they're drawn is racist. They're showing these people and they're drawing them in a way that sort of exaggerates their features.
Yeah, well, you know, I think that there are certain characteristics, physical characteristics, that have been singled out by racists over the years in their propaganda. You know, I'm thinking like the exaggerated lips on black people, exaggerated skin tone difference.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, there are things that racists have historically chosen to point out over the years, kind of in their racist screeds and propaganda. But, you know, one of the ways that satire works, right, is to shine a light on other, is to use the the tools of the people that you are lampooning to shine a light on their bad actions. That's part of how satire works. It's you take something and you become incredibly hyperbolic about it. So you take somebody's thoughts or their words or their phrases or their actions and you make it incredibly hyperbolic to point out the absurdity of it by bringing that all up. And I think that's clearly what's trying to be done here, or at least maybe not clearly. Maybe clearly is the problem, right? Is that as an outsider, unfamiliar with French politics and unfamiliar with, you know, a lot of the, you know, subtleties of French culture, i.e. any knowledge at all of French culture for most myself and most other Americans, you end up being stuck in a position, you know, like Kim Jong-un, where it's like, oh, I was named the Onion's sexiest man of the year.
Right.
Awesome. Like, if you don't understand what the Onion is, it's like, oh, well, that's fucking flattering. It's only understanding the cultural context that helps you know, like, oh no, I'm being mocked mercilessly.
And there's another cartoon that shows a woman that's supposed to look like a monkey, but then there's a couple of little elements in this that they're sort of showing her as she's a black woman. She has the body of a monkey. She has those exaggerated features, like you say, and then she's also got some other things in the drawing that make it look like there's a whole bunch of other things that are at play here. It's not just one thing. It's not just saying, oh, look at this woman looks like a monkey, because it's not even funny. Like,
no,
that's the
right
thing. It's like people think that that's what they're saying. That's not even funny. It's not funny. It's not interesting. It's just dull and silly and racist. But instead, there's like a whole play going on here that's way deeper, I think, than people give it credit for when they just want to just pass it off as being racist. And when they pass it off as being racist, what they are saying is, it's okay that somebody shot up a fucking bunch of people for being racist.
Yeah, you know, it'd be like if somebody went into, you know, the Klan headquarters and shot up the Klan headquarters and murdered a bunch of people there, that would be a wrong action.
Yeah.
Like, it makes no difference. That's why when we talked about this a little bit earlier, Cecil, one of the things that I really wanted to point out was that at the end of the day, the actions of the murderers who went into those offices and just sprayed them with, you know, gunfire and purposely murdered 12 unarmed people, at the end of the day, it makes no difference if the Hebdo magazine was racist or not. Like, that's not even relevant to the conversation, because the only way it would be relevant is if it somehow mitigated the damage. If it somehow was like, oh, well, they shot racists, so that's okay. Like, the crime of being a racist is a crime of assholery, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's a crime of like, man, that guy kind of sucks. That dude's a dick. Not like, man, that guy sucks. He's kind of a dick. We should fucking shoot him.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, we were talking about this, too. This didn't get recorded, but we were talking about it earlier. We were having a conversation about what fighting words are. Are there things that you would say these are fighting words? You know, that old saying, them's fighting words. What are fighting words? What are things that would make you fight? And I think that you and I could probably, if we really tried hard enough, could come up with fighting words. Words
sure
that would
yeah
provoke us into violence. But I think that the violence that they would provoke us into would be limited. It would be a limited form of violence. It certainly wouldn't be a murderous rage. And we had a really hard time thinking up murderous rage words.
Well, yeah, and, you know, and there's a difference, too, between, like, them's fighting words and, you know, two people who are unarmed swing fists at each other, right? And shooting words, you know, where you're unarmed and unsuspecting and I bust in and say, like, hey, this thing you said, like, there are no words. Like, if you're a person who can come up with words to justify that, you're just a terrible fucking human being. Like, you're just bad
right
at being a human being, and you should, you know, crawl back into whatever fucking hole from whence you came.
We normally don't cover email on these shows, but this email is in specific talking about Charlie Hebdo, so we wanted to talk about it. This is from Mark. He says, hey, guys, obviously this is the story this week. I'm watching Chris Haynes interview Juan Cole, and it dawned on me.
These jihadist groups are basically a replay of the Black Panthers of the 1960s. They have some legit gripes and are lashing out in a violent way in an attempt to disrupt society and sectarian war. With the Panthers, it was a race war. With the jihadists, it's religious. The only difference is the religious element, which gets people to flip out and engage in cognitive dissonance. See what I did there, Cecil? I'm very appreciative that you did that, Mark, by the way. Anyway, we need to look at this shit for what it is. Some pathetic losers scattered around, all ginned up over some legit issues, and maybe listen to some moderate Islamic voices. Fellas, we hear your Malcolm X and your Eldridge Cleaver. Now can you please point us to your Martin Luther King?
This was an interesting email, but I don't know that I necessarily agree with the analogy of the jihadists being analogous to the Black Panthers. So, you know, the Black Panthers, the violence that the Black Panthers engaged in was much more limited in scope. And it was directed primarily at the police. So that was, you know, there was little or no violence against unarmed citizens. The violence that was that the Black Panthers engaged in was kind of a back and forth between the Black Panthers and the police. So we're talking about an armed group and an armed group. And I'm not saying that the that makes that violence right, but I am saying that at least there's some parity of in force and power that's part of that struggle. I also am not convinced that the gripes of the jihadists are the same kinds of gripes that the Black Panthers were fighting against or you know, trying to bring to the light. So I'm not 100% sold on that analogy.
It's hard for me to get my brain around, and you might be right that it is because it's religious that I kind of just wave my hand and say, ah, come on. So there might be some real problems with people that are disenfranchising the Islamists and the people of the Muslim faith in a way that I'm not aware of. I know that in France they had taken away the ability to wear the burqa. And I know that they had a few other things that had happened, although none of them seemed that they were all that bad. I mean, I understand that the losing of the burqa is something that I think is a freedom that I personally don't think that there's a reason to do that. But the French culture is very different than the American culture. So it's hard for me to get behind and to say anything. I don't want to sound like a cultural relativist here, but I think that in certain senses, there's no way for me to tell culturally whether or not that's a good idea. And it's not, we're not talking about fucking genital mutilation here. We're talking about somebody, whether or not somebody can put a thing on. So it's a very different type of situation. So I don't want to look like I'm sort of backpedaling, but I just don't know that I have the cultural depth needed to address whether or not the burqa ban is, I don't know, like a crazy bit of oppression. That it doesn't seem like it to me, but you know, I'm not a Muslim and I'm not French, and I just don't know if I can delve in there. And it, to be honest, it doesn't feel like a big deal either way. But I'm not religious, so I don't, you know, I really don't.
It's
know.
Sort of like trying to evaluate. I mean, really, it's sort of like trying to evaluate the relative merits of a satirical magazine that exists outside your culture, right? You just can't do it.
Right.
Like, it's like, is this funny? I don't know. Maybe it is. It doesn't work for me because the whole thing about satire is it's all based around an in joke, and you're not part of that in crowd. Well, kind of the same thing here. It's difficult for me to look at these jihadists and say, yeah, you definitely have some legitimate gripes, and I guess like and I'm trying, Cecil. I'm resisting the urge to be dismissive.
I know. I can hear it.
Because I don't think that's an intellectually proper position to take. But it is awfully difficult for me to get to a point where people who commit heinous and violent acts against unarmed people, it's hard for me to say, well, did they have legitimate gripes? I just like I can't give a shit if you had a legitimate gripe at that point. Yeah. Like I'm out of shits to give. I'm totally unsympathetic. And then, you know, particularly when they do this shit, and then instead of citing a legitimate gripe, You know, it's not like somebody says, you know, stop the drone strikes, and then they blow themselves up, right? It's, you know, God is great, and then they blow themselves up.
Yeah, right.
And there is a difference there. And in one case, at least I know why you're pissed off, and it's a legit, it's something we can at least have a conversation around. I think your form of protest is murderous and barbaric, but at least you've told me what you're mad about. But when you tell me what you're mad about is religious, I don't give a shit. I just can't. And yeah. I know that that's not, that's probably not the most high-minded stance to take, but man, as soon as people start committing heinous acts of violent crime against unarmed people, I'm just like, my ability to feel high-minded goes kind of out the window.
So I want to close out the show today by reading a quote from Salman Rushdie, and this was about the specific attacks. And if you're not familiar with Salman Rushdie, he wrote The Satanic Verses,
mm-hmm.
which is a book about Islam, and he was they put out a fatwa on him, I think.
Right.
And he's been
calling for his death.
Yeah, they've been calling for his death for a long time. Religion, a medieval form of unreason, when combined with modern weaponry, becomes a real threat to our freedoms. This religious totalitarianism has caused a deadly mutation in the heart of Islam, and we see the tragic consequences in Paris today. I stand with Charlie Hebdo, as we all must, to defend the art of satire, which has always been a force for liberty and against tyranny, dishonesty, and stupidity. Respect for religion has become a code phrase meaning fear of religion. Religions, like all other ideas, deserve criticism, satire, and yes, our fearless disrespect.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. So this is going to be a short show this week. We think that this probably was a little heavier show than we normally would do. We'll hopefully make up for it next time. But this topic is just, it's just hard to,
how do you joke about
it? It's hard to even talk about, really. But we're going to leave you, as we always do, with the Skeptic's Creed.
Credulity is not a virtue. It's fortune cookie cutter, mommy issue, hypno Babylon bullshit. Couched in scientician, double bubble, toil and trouble, pseudo quasi alternative, acupunctuating, pressurized, stereogram, pyramidal, free energy, healing, water, downward spiral, brain dead pan, sales pitch, late night info docutainment. Leo, Pisces, cancer cures, detox, reflex, foot massage, death and towers, tarot cards, psychic healing, crystal balls, Bigfoot, Yeti, aliens, churches, mosques, and synagogues, temples, dragons, giant worms, Atlantis, dolphins, truthers, birthers, witches, wizards, vaccine nuts, shaman healers, evangelists, conspiracy, doublespeak, stigmata, nonsense. Expose your sides. Thrust your hands, bloody, evidential, conclusive. Doubt even this.
The opinions and views expressed in this show are that of the hosts only. Our poorly formed and expressed notions do not represent those of our wives, employers, friends, families, or of the local dairy council.